May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Jacob, if you would please pull it back to the beginning of the psalm for me. While he's doing that, Miranda saw this in the AARP magazine yesterday. There was a little quip at the back. One man says to the other, "My wife treats me like a god." And the other guy says, "Oh, does she worship, honor, and obey you?" And he says, "No. She ignores me until she needs something."
Like making sacrifices in your name while she's in the kitchen.
Unfortunately, there's probably some truth behind that one. Alright. "Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them. I will offer thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. He who is righteous may enter. I will give thanks to you, for you answered me and have become my salvation." I want to talk to you about the lost art of giving thanks. It really is a lost art, unfortunately. I see it all too often when I'm driving, for example. It used to be, I don't know, Hugh was a truck driver. When you would pass somebody and they would flick their lights and you would tell you there was room to move over, you appreciated that. Did you flick your lights back at them? I mean, I used to do that all the time. And now I'll flash my lights at them, tell them you've got room, and they just pull over. There's no flash back at me, you know, or anything like that. Or you give somebody preference in traffic, and they just kind of, you know, and they don't ever wave to you or say, you know. The other day at school, I held the door. This girl was coming behind me, and she had a backpack, and she had a purse, and she was talking on the telephone. It was obvious she was going to have a little trouble opening the door. So I opened the door, and she just barged right on through. It's just like, okay, you're welcome. Glad I could be here to help you. But then, just to counterbalance that, I was thinking about that last night. Did anybody else, I know Janine went out and saw Jupiter last night. Did anybody else go out and see Jupiter last night? Yeah, David. It was truly an amazing thing. And I had my binoculars, but from my house, the trees were too high and I couldn't see it. So I had to walk all the way down by the Dunham's house where there was a break in the trees and I could look. And through my binoculars, I could see three moons around Jupiter, too. It was really, really cool. And but as I was walking by one of the houses, there were two men standing on the front porch. And one of them saw me with binoculars, and he kind of, okay, you know.
Stop it at the neighborhood.
And so I stopped on the way back, and I said, "You guys had a little trepidation about me walking by here with my binoculars, I know, but come on, let me show you something." And I walked them back over to Aspen Court and showed them Jupiter and the moons, and, "Oh, wow, that is so cool!" You know, they were really excited about it. And as I was walking back, they made just exuberant effort to thank me for taking the time to show them. And, you know, and I was like, okay, my sermon just got undone. Anyway. But, I mean, too, have you ever noticed, I don't know about most of you, but when I was growing up, you know, I was taught, of course I had a Southern mother, so it made a little bit of difference, I guess. But I was always taught that if somebody gives you a gift, you always make a point of writing a thank you note and sending it to them. Okay, good. I'm glad. But, you know, I'm always, at this point, surprised when I get a thank you note from somebody after having given them a gift or whatever, because it's a lost art of giving thanks. And, you know, we were laughing about the little story from AARP, but I had been counseling a couple many, many years ago, and wife had come to me. She was really upset because her husband just seemed to, quote, take her for granted. And so I was counseling with the two of them, meeting with them, and I asked him point blank. I said, when was the last time you thanked her for cooking dinner? He says, for cooking dinner? Hey, I do the lawn. I take care of the car. She's supposed to take care of everything in the house. Why should I thank her? Because it might help your marriage. Might improve your relationship, you know. Lost art of giving thanks. It's a habit you have to develop. It's a habit that we need to nurture and develop. You know, there's all sorts of philosophy groups and so forth that talk about the attitude of gratitude and all that. But what I want to approach it with you is I want to look at what the Bible says in terms of giving thanks to God. Okay? Because this is really key. It's important for us to understand that it is an attitude that we need to develop in our relationship with the Almighty. Let me start by saying what thanksgiving is not. Okay? Thanksgiving is not perfunctory. Okay? Have you ever gone to Kmart and had the checkout lady or whoever say, thank you for shopping Kmart, and you felt like they really meant it? I mean, I got a clue one time when I was at Kmart and I saw on the register and there was this little sign that said, remember, TYFSK. You know, okay, I really feel like I'm being honored here. No, but, you know, we do that. I mean, let's face it. You're saying the general thanksgiving of morning prayer or evening prayer, you know. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, I'm giving you thanks because it's written in the book.
And it's really long.
Like one long sentence. No. You know, it's an attitude, and it's something we develop, all right? But it's also, on the contrary side of that, it's also not just warm, fuzzy feelings for God, okay? It is something that, and I'll get into this, it's a sacrifice you make. Yeah, it's a long prayer, but it's a sacrifice. Yeah. You know, you do it because you're giving honor and glory to God. All right. So what is thanksgiving biblically? Martin Luther said, thanksgiving is the basic Christian attitude. It should permeate your entire life. Okay? It's an acknowledgement of God's generosity, of His provision for His saints. We thank Him for the things that He has done for us. We thank Him for the things that He has given to us. All things come of Thee, O Lord, and of Thine own have we given Thee. Everything comes from God. We need to be in an attitude of gratitude toward Him for what He has given to us. Thanksgiving shapes every aspect of our Christian life. It can inspire our thoughts, it can inform our actions, and it can focus us on God and His redeeming grace. That's why we need to develop an attitude of thanksgiving toward God. Let's look at a couple of Psalms, all right? Actually, you don't need to turn to them. I'll just read them to you real quickly. In Psalm 50, verse 14 and verse 23, it says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. That's Psalm 50, verse 14. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. He who brings thanksgiving as his sacrifice honors me. To him who orders his way aright, I will show the salvation of God. It is a sacrifice. It's something that we have to make an effort to be involved in. It's a decision that you make to give the thanksgiving to God. It's something that we do. It's an action that we take. It's not just a thought. It's something that we requires something of us, all right? It involves us. And in Psalm 100, in verse 4, it says, enter his gates with Thanksgiving. Come into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and call on his name. You enter into the courts of God with thanksgiving. Every time you give thanks, you're literally coming into his presence. That's something to consider. That's something exciting. Now, there is a difference between thanksgiving and praise, okay? Praise is honor and adoration to God for who God is. All right? Let's give you an example from the reading from Revelation today that Janine read. It says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" That's praise. You're honoring God for who He is. All right? You give thanks for what He gives to you, for what He does for you. Okay? And so you'll see in various... Well, let's turn in your nearly infallible version of the Bible there to Psalm 107. Thanksgiving is giving thanks for what He has done for you. Psalm 107 is probably the perfect psalm in terms of illustrating what thanksgiving is. Psalm 107. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those He gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south." And then the psalmist goes through four different examples of things that God has done for the people of God and how they are to respond to Him. In verse 4, "Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle." And then he describes their situation. And then in verse 7, "He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle." What should they do? "Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love, His wonderful deeds for men." Give thanks to the Lord for His deeds done for them. In verse 10, "Some sat in darkness and in deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains." Then he describes their situation. In verse 13, "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains." What do they do? "Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love, His wonderful deeds for men." And he goes on, "Some became fools, and He sent forth His word and healed them. Let them give thanks to the Lord. Others were out on the sea in ships. And what happened? A storm came up. And then He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed, and they were glad. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men." Giving thanks to God for His wonderful deeds to us. That's what thanksgiving is. All right, so what does that mean for us today? And what does that mean for us as we come into this Holy Week? I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. We heard a very strong word about rejoice, rejoice, rejoice today. Yes? Did we not hear that in the prophetic word? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I will say it again. Rejoice! "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." You make your petitions known to God with thanksgiving. Now, I told you, I grew up Southern. Now, it could have happened in the North. I don't know, Michelle. It could. But at least at my house, when we were growing up, this verse, verse 6 of Philippians 4, was very informative, and my mother made a point of when you are asking for something, you ask it with thanksgiving. So, for example, at the dinner table, my father never could quite get his head around this, but she would say, "Now, how do you ask for that? Thank you for the butter. Thank you for the sugar." That's how you ask for things at the dinner table. Okay? That's what we were taught. You know, please pass the butter. My father always said that, mind you. He never got into the gig here, but, you know, please pass the butter. And how do you ask for that? He would look at her. Thank you for the butter. Thank you for the sugar. Thank you for more toast. Thank you for the egg. You know, you would always offer your petition with thanksgiving. Now, St. John Chrysostom, in his commentary on Philippians, said, "How can one make petitions for the future without a thankful acknowledgement of past things?" Okay. How can one make petitions for the future without a thankful acknowledgement of past things? So no one ought to give thanks for... So one ought to give thanks for everything, even what seems grievous. That is the mark of one who is truly thankful. Grief comes out of circumstances with their demands. Thanksgiving comes from a soul that has true insight and strong affection for God. Strong affection for God. We show our affection for God by giving thanks. Now, in 1 Thessalonians, if you want to turn there with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 18, Scripture says, "Do not muzzle the ox." Oh, I'm in Timothy. I thought that sounded really weird for me. That has nothing to do with Thanksgiving, Bill. Don't muzzle the ox anyway, okay? Yeah, he won't say thank you if you muzzle him. Okay. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll start with verse 16. "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Give thanks in all circumstances, just as Chrysostom was describing. All right. And you know, all of that is repeated, reiterated, if you will, in our Eucharistic prayer. What does the word Eucharist mean?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. We come to church to do holy thanksgiving. That's why we're here. We're here to give thanks to God for everything He has done for us. And we rehearse all of that through every service of Holy Eucharist. In the Sursum Corda, you guys know this. All right, ready? "The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks.
There you go. You just said it. It is right. It is the right thing to do, to give Him thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth." Always, everywhere, give thanks to God. It's the right thing to do. When we celebrate the memorial, this service of remembrance, okay, we celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. As I said, we rehearse it. We go through the creation, the fall, the reconciliation. We go through the reiteration of Jesus' last night at the Passover and His giving thanks to God for the bread and for the wine. And you notice it's in the giving thanks that the bread becomes the body. It's in the giving thanks that the wine becomes the blood. It's all important. All important. And when we get into Eucharistic Prayer D come this season of Easter, you'll see even more. It's even a more elaborate consecration prayer. We give thanks for so many things that God has done for us. All right, but now, as we come into the beginning of this Holy Week, and as we look toward the things that are yet to come, we've got to say, okay, what is it that we can do as a sacrifice of thanksgiving for the Lord? Well, if we are rehearsing the things that God has done for us as a thanksgiving, then this is an all-important week. Because on Maundy Thursday, we are rehearsing what God did for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, in giving us the Holy Eucharist. And so, you want to give thanks to God for the gift of His body and blood? You're here. You come on Thursday night. You allow Jesus to wash your feet. You give thanks to Him that He has cleansed you. You give thanks that He has called you into love your brother and your sister. You come to give thanks to God because His Son, Jesus Christ, gave us His body and His blood. That's the sacrifice of thanksgiving. On Good Friday, oh, I don't like Good Friday. It's so depressing. Well, yeah, it was a really good day for Jesus, too. I mean, come on. Oh, and it's a long way to come to church just for the service. Well, yeah, and it's a long way to Calvary. How do we say, give thanks to God? We come. And we give thanks. We read the Passion Gospel. We see what Jesus did for us. We see the deed that He has done that has brought us salvation. And in that, we give thanks to God. And we're here to celebrate His resurrection from the dead on Holy Saturday. We give glory to God and we give thanks to Him that He raised His Son so that we might be raised in Him. That's what this Holy Week is about. It's about giving thanks to God. It's a sacrifice of thanksgiving that we give unto the Almighty. Holy Week is about making us holy in giving thanks to Almighty God. Amen.